Open your Bibles, if you would, then, to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. How many of you have ever played sports before in any form or fashion? You ever play any sports, organized sports? Sometimes when you play sports, and I can relate to sports I played, sometimes even if you get where you're fairly good at playing sports, maybe you're a good shot basketball or a good baseball player or something like that, I don't care how good an athlete you are, there are times when you go through a slump. Now, slump is just where somebody's not reaching their full potential. And they go through the slump, and I had someone tell me the other day, one of the boys that plays, he's talking about his shot not on. And I told him, I said, keep shooting. I said, go through the fundamentals of your shot and just keep shooting. What happens when you're going through a slump as an athlete, sometimes what you have to do is you have to, when your shot's not going in, you're not hitting the ball, and whatever it may be, you have to go back to fundamentals. There are basic fundamentals you got to work on. Your proper position, your proper rotation, and things like that. All those things affect your shot. And when it's not going in, you just have to keep working on it. Your arch and all the things that the fundamentals of making a shot. The same thing happens in Christian life. We go through slumps. In slumps, we're not reaching our potential. Now, an athlete, when they go through a slump, you don't throw them away. But they have to go back to their fundamentals. Sometimes we have to go back to our fundamentals. Now, I want to look at some things this morning, but I want to read a couple verses in John chapter number 10, and stay with me this morning because I want to share with you a thought or two. But in verse number 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what?
Saved.
And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they may have it what?
More
abundantly. This morning I want to share a thought or two about abundant life. Now let me say, everybody in here are in one of three positions. Number one, you are, even though you're physically existing in life, you are lost. You have no abiding life. You die after this, you do not have life, you have eternal death to look forward to. Hell will be your destiny. Even though you have a physical life, you have no spiritual life if you've never been saved.
Amen.
And by the way, it's a universal problem. Everybody had it. Those of us who may be saved, it wasn't that we did not have it and was not like you. We had it. We just did something about it. But if you're here and you're not saved, you have no life. The Bible says that Jesus came that you might have life. That's why he had.
Amen.
If you had life, he wouldn't have come. But you were dead. Ephesians says you're dead in trespasses and sin. Every one of us. Now, then there are some here that are saved. But you have life, you're saved, but you're not accomplishing anything for the Lord. Somebody said, well, I don't believe you can be saved. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that at the day of judgment for those who are saved, the judgment seat of Christ, The Bible says that there's going to be some that's going to be saved, yet so by fire, but their works are all going to be burnt. And they shall suffer loss. They'll not get a reward. What does that mean? That means they were saved, but they never reached their potential. They were doing nothing for God. They never did nothing for God. Everything that they focused on was of this world. And they just didn't seem to accomplish anything for the Lord. Then there are those that are saved. And they are able to experience abundant life. Now, when you get saved, you have abiding life. But when you reach your potential, or you get in a place where you have abundant life, it changes everything around. Now, let me say this. We have an enemy. Look, if you would, in verse 10. The Bible says we have someone who came for one purpose, and that is, or three purposes he mentions here, but to do what? To steal, kill, destroy. The devil is out to do that, and number one, he wants to keep you from ever having eternal life. He'll do everything he can to keep you lost. Whatever it is, he wants you damned in hell. That's his destiny. He wants it for you too. You say, I don't think anybody would want me to go to hell. The devil does. He came to steal, to kill, and destroy. Him and his demons work full time to keep you from ever being saved.
Amen.
Tries to blind your eyes to truth. Tries to keep you from coming around the truth. Tries to get you to sell out and go into the world. He does everything he can to destroy you. But then, even after you're saved, he doesn't let up. He wants to steal away from you all joy that you have. He wants to steal your love, the special love, the agape love that only Christians have. He wants to steal from you the peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
He wants to steal the love, because if he steals your love, you have fears. You run around fearing things. You're afraid of this, you're afraid of that, you're afraid of this, afraid of this, instead of just trusting God. He steals your faith. He steals your hope. And so what happens is, where we could be having abundant life, because Jesus not only came to give you life, he came to give you abundant life. And once you obtain abiding life, the devil does everything he can possible to keep you from ever enjoying abundant life. But let's look at a few things. Now, let me say, first of all, that Jesus is the door to life. He, by the way, he's also the door to abundant life. Somebody said, what can I do to enjoy my Christian life? Brother Junior said something this morning in our opening prayer, and I appreciate it. He actually, it related a lot to what David said in Psalms 122, verse 1. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Brother Junior, when he was praying, he said, Lord, I'm glad to be here. There's times when you're saved that you're not glad to be here. There's times when you make yourself come, but you have no joy in it. You get nothing out of it. You come, you go through the motions. When you're in a slump as a Christian, you sing songs, but they don't speak to you. You hear messages, but you don't rejoice in it. You have fellowship, but you really don't have fellowship. What happens is, all the things that are fruits of the Holy Spirit of God that you can have supernaturally above what a normal person would have, making it abundant life to be saved. Somebody said, well, it's so dreaded. We have all those, thou shalt not. When you see a thou shalt not, what God says is, don't hurt yourself with that. When he says, thou shalt, what he says is, do that. It'll help you out. Sometimes we look and we say, well, he's keeping us. Someone one time preached and they said, God will hurt you, but he'll never harm you. Sometimes he'll allow things in your life to hurt, but it's not for your harm. He always has your best intentions. For we know, Paul said, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and all the called according to his purpose. Amen. Sometimes we've got to do some things to get us out of slump. Sometimes when, as a coach, if the team starts getting in a slump, we go back to the basics. We start running drills. We start running. We start exercising. We start doing push-ups. We start doing jumping. We start getting weight. And they say, well, let's scrimmage. I said, no scrimmage. We go back to the basics, fundamentals. Get you out of your slump. And so here, Jesus is a door. He's the ordained door. Peter said that he was ordained from the foundation of the world, that he would be the door to life. If you want life, you want abundant life, you got to get it through Jesus. Not you can't have it. John chapter 14, verse 6, he's the only door. No man cometh the Father but by me. You want to have life? You got to go through Jesus. I told someone this weekend, I said, listen, you want to be saved? There's only one way of being saved. You got to go through Jesus. It doesn't come with being good. It doesn't come with comparing your goodness to God's, to somebody else's goodness. It's through Jesus. Therefore, when you get to heaven, you're not going to have nothing to brag about but Jesus. When we get there, we're going to put away all this fleshy old junk. If you're saved, and when we stand around the throne of God, every one of us is going to have one thing to praise, and that's Jesus. He's going to get all our praise, all our honor and glory, because every one of us is going to realize if it was not for him, we wouldn't even be there. Therefore, he deserves all praise. So he's not only the ordained door, he's the only door. And by the way, he's the open door. The Bible says God opens doors, he shuts doors. Therefore, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. When the door is open, you better step through it. When God shuts the door, you can't get in. You don't believe that? Ask the whole world back in Noah's day. When God shut the door, nobody got in. Once he shut the door, they were all damned. Once God shuts the door on you, you're damned. You say, well, I don't believe God ever shut the door. Well, you're a fool. Because one of these times, you know, death can find you by design. Death can find you by disease. Death can find you by what we call disaster. I was thinking about those people down in Florida. That storm came up all of a sudden. It increased its intensity. 14 people died that very day. I'm sure the day before they thought there was nothing to fear. But they didn't know they was going to go out and meet God. We never know what's going to take us out. So what we need to understand is he is the open door. And the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, let him open up. He's the optional door. In other words, you have a choice. You can receive him, believe in him, or you can reject him. But my friend, he is the door. The word I am puts him as Jehovah God. He is a God who loves sinners, that saves sinners, but he is also the God that will judge sinners if you reject him. So today, if you're here and you don't have life, I want you to know that Jesus came that you might have life. And if you don't get life, it will be your fault. It will not be his fault. He did everything possible that you might have life. Yes, there's a thief trying to rob you of it. But if you allow the thief to rob you of it, you'll have to blame yourself. Because Jesus came and he conquered the thief. He stepped upon his head. He crushed it. He made a way that everyone could be saved. Whosoever will, let him come. You won't be saved, you come to Jesus. Now let me say something about abundant life. It's not an easy life. It's not an exotic life. It's not extravagant life. But what it is it's a very enriching life. Sometimes I go through slumps. I did it as an athlete. I do it as a Christian. When you go through slumps, you lose a lot of things. But let me say this real quickly. God's purpose when he saves you is to change you. Turn with me two places, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. And also, as you turn to Romans chapter 12, turn in Romans chapter 8. Look in Romans chapter 12. Paul writing those who are saved. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not what?
Conformed.
That means shaped into the image of. Be not conformed to what?
This world.
Now keep your finger there a minute and turn back in Romans chapter 8. Read with me, if you will, in verse number 29. The Bible says, in verse 28, we know that when he said, and we know that all things work together for good, them love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? There's that word conformed again. That means shaped in the image. What does he want you conformed to? The image of his son. So from the moment you get saved, God, keep your finger in Romans chapter 12 a minute. God has a purpose that you would not be conformed to the world, but that you'd be conformed to his son. And so he brings certain things in our life to conform us to the image of his son, to keep us meek, to keep us humble, to keep all these things happening in our life. Now some of those things are painful. Sometimes he brings tribulation, and tribulation work of patience. Sometimes he brings certain things in our life, and he does it for a purpose. But we know that all things work together for our good. Hard to understand when you're going through the hard times, when it hurts, but it's good, and God does it. And he does it to keep us from being conformed to the world. Sometimes when we get conforming too much to the world, number one, not only we get in a slump, but God has to bring us back to the basics. He's got to bring us back to fundamentals. He's got to get us back to where we need to be. We'll get to that in just a moment. But look on, if you would, in chapter 12 of Romans, in verse number 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what?
Transformed.
That word transform means metamorphosis. It means that there's a transformation that happens in you. The Bible says by the renewing of your mind. The transformation is that there is something that's happening on the inside that will soon become evident on the outside. In other words, you will do a metamorphosis. Different ones. You know, I've seen some people come, get saved. They came, they had all kinds of things in their life. They came and got saved. And somebody said, well, I don't know whether to believe it or not. Well, I said, just stand back and watch. There's a metamorphosis happens. All of a sudden, even though it had happened on the inside, it began to transform to the outside. People began to look and said, there's been a change in that person. What happened to them? And all of a sudden, they begin to think different. That song you wrote one time. Begin to think different. They begin to understand things differently. They hear things they'd never heard before, and God begins to work those things in their life. And they begin to see things and understand things. That's what the transforming of by the renewing of your mind means. And notice here, that he goes on, he says this. He says in verse number 2, that we may prove. In other words, God wants to prove his genius to us. That we may prove what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Well, he proves his person of Jesus to us. He proves our purpose, and he begins to show us our purpose, and he begins to work his plan in our lives. He begins to do certain things. Now, the key to beginning to have an abundant life is to serve God and be willing to serve God. You must be willing to serve God and others. You can always tell when you're slump as a Christian. It turns into me, 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 I, me, me. I can always tell when I get away from God. It's all about me. In my marriage, all about me. In my family, all about me. In my church, all about me. Somebody said, well, I got mad and I left church. Well, you're either not saved or you're in a slump. Because it's all about you. He said, well, you can't say they're not saved. John did. He said, they were with us, but they're no longer with us. They left us because they were never of us. Some people leave because they're not part of it. Then other people leave because me. Now, I'm not saying that's the only reason you have to go somewhere else. There's sometimes you have to make other decisions. But listen, my point is this. When you get in slump, it changes your whole way of looking at things. If you want, what God's purpose is for us is that we would love Him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. That's the first greatest commandment. And the second commandment is what? It's likened to it that we should do what? What's the second greatest commandment Jesus said?
Love our neighbor as yourself.
Somebody said, I do. Really? When we get to a place where God is really using us, we find ourselves having a great compassion and love. Even for people we don't know. For people that are lost. The people need to be saved. I can tell when I'm in a slump. It's not just because I'm missing the ball. Just not because I'm missing the shot. I can tell as a Christian when I'm in a slump. Everything about my fundamentals go wrong. I'll talk about your fundamentals in just a second. But it takes separation. You got to be willing to separate if you want to serve God. Somebody said, well, I can walk with God. You can't while you run with the devil. You can't do them both. Now, we lose our freedom that God gives us with salvation. The Bible says, thy word is truth, and the truth shall what? Isn't it nice to be free? I don't know anything nicer than to be free. You know, sometimes I read back of slavery and things happen in slavery and it makes me mad. No human being ought to be treated like an animal. There's people today that get treated like animals. Some of you all have kept foster children. You've kept other people that have been treated like animals. I can tell you some stories that make your blood crawl. I remember one time in EMS working at EMS, and I went to run, and some woman allowed her boyfriend to sit, and because the baby was crying, about 2 years old, allowed her boyfriend to feed it battery acid to quieten it down. It'd eat his stomach out, it'd eat his lips off, and eat half of his tongue off. Big man. I tell you what, I never want to get in the flesh so bad in all my life. But the point being is this. There can be some cruel things happen. But what we need to understand is we need to understand that we're free. America is the land of the free. That's why I tell these kids, I had a guy come a few years ago, a guy wanted to come to school here, and then he wanted to rebel against standing for the flag. He wanted to rebel against saying allegiance to the flag. So I just told him one day in front of everybody, I said, listen, I said, if you can't say a pledge of allegiance to that flag, you go find you another school. You're in the wrong place. That flag represents the freedom that we have in this country. A lot of people died to give us that freedom. As far as I'm concerned, you won't take a knee to it. What you need to do is get on a ship and go somewhere else. Amen. And see how you enjoy that. Go over to Cuba and see how much freedom you have over there. Go over to Russia and see how much freedom. Go to China, see how much freedom you have. Go to Iraq, see how much freedom you have. Go to Iran, see how much freedom you have. Go enjoy yourself in those countries. You kids, don't ever disrespect that flag. God planted you in one of the greatest countries there are. You have freedom. I've went on mission trips, and I've stood there, and I've been frisked. I've had guards come and follow me where I went, and that's a bad feeling. To know you're in a place that if they want to, they can take and imprison you, and whether you're guilty or not, they can imprison you, and there's nothing you can do about it. We have freedoms, and of course, they've turned some of those up on their heads, but I thank God that we're free. But look here. One of the greatest privileges of being a Christian is have freedoms. Not have fear. Perfect love casts out what? You don't have to worry about storms. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about this. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about what you got to eat. You don't have to worry about where you're going to be, your shelter. You don't have to worry about none of those things if you really enjoy the freedoms of being saved. God has means of getting all that stuff done. He tells us, seek ye first what? Kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be provided to you. Now, stay with me a minute. Then we find, if you would, turn with me one more place to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse number 22, and I know many of you are familiar with this, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no such law. When you get saved and you get abiding life, everyone who gets abiding life, you have the Holy Spirit. You're born again of the Spirit. Not only is your spirit made alive, but His Spirit lives in us. Amen. His Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the child of God. Right? We are sealed with His Spirit until the day of redemption. His Spirit is in us. Now, His Spirit is in us to bring forth fruit. Not only that we might be saved and have life, abiding life, where if we die, we go to heaven, but we might not only have life, but we might have it what? More abundantly. What is abundant life? Abundant life is having the love of God in your heart. What does the love of God do in your heart? It makes you love everybody. That old song they used to sing, I don't like the word religion a lot of times, it's used in James in a good way, but most of the time it's not. But give me that old time religion. It makes me what? Love everybody. You know why it made you love everybody? The moment you got saved, the Holy Ghost of God shed abroad in your heart to what? Love of God. Jesus said, I say not to love those that does good to you, but to love your enemies in Matthew chapter 5. How can I love my enemies? When you have the love of God. Isn't it wonderful when you're right with God and you're not in a slump to enjoy the fruits of the love of God? The love of God makes you go, and everywhere you go, you love everybody. Why, you even love the dog and cat. Don't even kick them anymore. But look here. You go and you love. How can I tell when I'm in a slump? My love starts lacking. How else? My faith. The Bible says, now faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Why is faith important? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now look here. Faith is believing the word of God. How do I get faith? How do I get faith? Where does it come from? Faith comes by hearing. the Word of God. Did you know the Word of God is what expands love? Did you know that the Word of God is what expands my faith? How about hope? Hope is that I have a determined, a belief and some determined goals of what God would do. That's my hope. You know what brings hope in my life? The Word of God. When I get where I'm in a slump as a Christian, I lose sight of my hopes. My expectations begin to go. I begin to just deal with things immediately, and I begin to lose all sight of where my hope is. See, we're saved by hope. You say, well, what if I went to the doctor today and he pronounced that I had cancer? Hope is the only thing you got. Hope. Hope is what God gives to us. Hope comes from the Word. If you don't believe that, you can get in Romans chapter 15, he'll tell you. Now stay with me a minute. So here we have love. We have faith. We have hope. We also have joy. Joy is to have, to be able to have joy is to be able to experience happiness even when things around you are not going good. It is not in relationship to what you're going through. It's in relationship of what the Holy Ghost is doing in your heart. He said, as Jesus said, these words have I spoke to you there in John, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. In other words, joy is also based upon the Word of God. Now, let me just give you one more, and I'm going to close here in just a second. But not only we have joy, but how about peace? Isn't it nice to have you two guys have peace with yourselves? How about peace with each other? I hate to see people at odds. No peace. The Bible says the wicked is like a sea, a troubled sea. No peace. But look here. Isn't it good that you and Jackie can sit together without fighting? Y'all can, can't you? Okay, good. Peace. Any of you ever had in your home no peace? Isn't that a miserable feeling? Any of you ever had, some of you sports, you say you own sports, you ever had your team to be at odds with each other? By the way, what kind of victories do you have then? I've seen sometimes in coaching basketball, I've seen some get jealous of somebody and not pass to them. Oh, that burns me up. Or I see some get jealous and they're afraid somebody got a few more rebounds than somebody else. So listen, guys, let's win. The team wins and the team loses. Now, stay with me a minute. But peace. We have the unique ability as Christians to have a peace that passes all understanding. But when we get in a slump, we lose it. Now, let me say this, and I'll close. All these things comes to you by getting back to the fundamentals. Reading the Word of God. Praying. Attending and fellowshipping in church. Listen to me. How many of us have quit reading only to read what we have to either prepare for something
or either read as someone's preaching here, but you never spend no time in the Word of God at home.
You say, well, I'm in a slump, preacher. Something must be wrong with the church.
How about getting back to your fundamentals and seeing if it picks up your swing a little better?
See if something happens when you begin to read. See if you don't find a little bit more faith, a little better hope, a little more joy, a little more peace, a little more love. How many of you would say, preacher, I'm not only in a slump from reading the Word of God, I've got away from the fundamentals of getting on my face and begin to really, truly pray to God. I'm not talking about saying, God, do this person over here because they hurt me. I mean, open yourself before God and say, God, I need you. God, I need your help. God, I'm going to lay this in your hands. I'm going to trust you. And begin to pray. And you know what happens? What happens is this. If you go back to the fundamentals, then all of a sudden, all those joys and fruits of the Spirit begin to change. You say, preacher, I'd hate to admit I'm in a slump. Can I tell you? All of us go through slumps. But it's what we decide. And by the way, you don't throw somebody away when they're going through a slump. The Bible says, ye which are spiritual, pray for them. Somebody said, well, I'm going to join this side or I'm going to join the other side. Yeah, that's what you do when you're not where you need to be. When you're where you need to be, you pray for them. Get you out of your slump. Got to return to fundamentals to get yourself out of the slump. Because Jesus not only came to give you life, he wants you to have it more abundantly. Now, I cannot think of anything better than to get up out of bed, have kind words coming from her. I give kind words back. To come here and have kind words. To go there and have kind words. To go out there and have kind words. I can't think of anything better than to just be at peace. I can't think of anything better than to, regardless of what's going on in life, still have joy and hope and love. But boy, I lose it sometimes. But when I do, I know I'm in a slump. What I used to do as an athlete was this. Sometimes I'd shoot the ball and the goal looked this big. And felt like I hit everything I shot. But when it got where it felt like it was this big, I'd get away from everybody. I'd ask the coach, I said, can I have keys to the gym? He'd give me keys to the gym. I'd go in there for hours working on my fundamentals. And all of a sudden, the old boy had it back again. But it came from hard work. But I had to go back to the fundamentals. I had to get my feet set right, square my body up, shoot. Using and doing the things that I know, the fundamentals that taught me how to get, that got me where I was at. We get living our Christian lives in such a hurry. We get away from the fundamentals. And when we get away from fundamentals, everything about our game suffers. Amen. Let's stand. How about this morning? Maybe you're here and you need life. You're here and you're lost. If you were to die today, hell would be your destiny. And God is drawing and speaking in your heart. You need to come. Would you come? Let God have his way and say, Lord, Brother Billy, I just need to be saved this morning. God's been dealing my heart. He's opened the door this morning. You feel him drawing. You know today is the day that he wants you to come get saved. Would you come this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and God's dealing your heart about other things. You need to come and just get before God this morning. Maybe you're in a slump and you just need to come. Say, God, I need to get back to those fundamentals. to get me back where I enjoy the fruits of that abundant life that only you can give. The world does not know, but I've got a taste and I've been able to enjoy it. How about this morning? Would you come as we sing, Brother Porter? Just as I am.